Whether you are new to the living healthy lifestyle or a healthy living veteran, this is the place for the honest answers to your questions. Naturally Savvy with registered holistic nutritionist Andrea Donsky and health journalist Lisa Davis on RadioMD.com.
Recently, I had an anthology published all about people with invisible disabilities. It is called Easy to Love But Hard to Live With, Real People, Invisible Disabilities, True Stories. A book looks at stories by people and their loved ones, people who have autism, ADHD, dyslexia, and also some mental illnesses. And one of the contributors to the book is back, Brian Leaf, who is one of my favorite writers. He is the author of Misadventures of a Parenting Yogi and Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi. Was so kind to contribute an essay to this wonderful book, and he joins us now. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's great. Brian, it's so great to have you back. Now, when I reached out to you, it was after I had read your book, Misadventures of a Garden State Yogi. You were dealing with two invisible ailments, colitis and ADD, and I was so moved by the way you dealt with this. Talk to us a little bit about your book and about the story and why you were so gracious to contribute your story to my book.
Yeah, so the first one, colitis, in a way a little less invisible because the symptoms manifest in physical things, but kind of invisible, I'd say, because nobody really talks about it. You know, it's sort of the symptoms are so private that no one really, once you start talking about, I guess these days IBS is out there. Everybody in New England has IBS, I guess, or at least in New Jersey where I'm from, you know. So nobody talks about it. Once you start getting into IBS, though, and getting into the symptoms, you know, everybody, at least all my parents' friends, they all have it. So I had it, and it took a while to find the right doctor, and eventually I did. And then in college, though, I wound up getting really into yoga. And kind of miraculously, I mean, it's sort of wild, the yoga really wound up, and the way I used it and got into it, wound up really curing the colitis. So then years later, after I'd been kind of wandering around a lot and studying different things, different places, and being in different relationships and moving around a lot, and I thought I was really just a free spirit, which I sort of am. I even had a big beard, you know. And I was seeing this one therapist, and she suggested that maybe I wasn't just a free spirit, but that I had ADD, and that was why, you know, I never stuck with a relationship, never stuck with a job, never stayed in the same place for more than 8 or 10 months. And, I reacted in the way that you do when you know that someone is saying something that's just really true for you, which is that you get really angry and hate them and never want to see them again. So I got really angry and I kind of ran away. And then, you know, it sunk in and I realized she was right. I realized, you know, there was a way in which I was free and it was wonderful. And ADD folks often are very creative and sort of free in a certain way. But I realized that also she was right, that there was a way in which it was getting in the way of certain things I wanted in life. And I think the aim is freedom. The aim is not for all of us to become the same person. You know, I'm not meant to be an administrator juggling 30 things. I'll never be like that. But through tools, you know, I can learn to not have the symptoms of ADD get in the way of my life, but just to take advantage of the awesome symptoms of ADD, actually, which are creativity, adaptability, flexibility. Mm-hmm. So I got really into Ayurveda, which is a side of yoga, mm-hmm. and basically learned to put the symptoms of ADD in check.
No, you know, I mean, I don't know if you know this answer or not, but I'm just curious, you know, is there more and more people like nowadays, like, you mean, we know you joked about it at the beginning, but do you find that there are more and more people these days that have these disorders, or do you think it's just we're hearing about it more now than we used to because of social media and because of, obviously, you know, all the other ways that we can find out, you know, what people are going through?
Boy, it's a tricky question. Like you said, I might not have the answer. I have my suspicions, which is, I think it's a combination of both of those. I think that we are more aware and open to those things, you know, than people were 50 or 100 years ago, where folks were just kind of labeled in a certain way, and now we have mm-hmm. ways to rise above that and you know, to deal with the symptoms. But also, it's possible that certain things in our environment are causing more of it. I'm writing a new book, actually, which is one of the things I look at is gluten-free phenomenon. And I asked somebody, mm-hmm. why do you think so many people are sensitive to gluten now? And I didn't expect to really vibe with her answer. I thought she was sort of more of a mainstream person or something. But she gave me this incredibly holistic answer that I just loved. She said, I think maybe people's gut, you know, people's colon or their gut is too clean through too much antibiotics, too much antibacterial soap, not enough natural probiotics in food, the flora in their gut is messed up, so they're more sensitive to gluten. And so I think that metaphorically might be true for what we're talking about. It's possible that, I don't know, there's all kinds of theories out there. Some people are really getting really, really, really concerned about Wi-Fi. That's messed, they think. Or, you know, different things. So it's possible that environmental causes are bringing more of it to the forefront. And yet at the same time, absolutely, there's no doubt that, you know, that we're just more aware of these things and able to diagnose them, which is awesome because as long as we don't over-pathologize them, and that's where I think, you know, yoga and Ayurveda and all kinds of things, exercise and diet can come in. Because once we diagnose it, it gives us the ability to then rise above it. You know, I didn't just say, oh, you know, I have ADD, I can never be in a relationship. Using yoga and Ayurveda, I was able to balance some of the symptoms and then, you know, actually stay in one place for 10 years and not have to always move.
No, that's true. You know, one of the things in Easy to Love but Hard to Live With is after the essays, or some of the essays, there's some great experts. And what I love is after your essay, you actually give some great advice that you're talking about now, and you also offer some yoga poses. And then there's another Stephanie Maines, who is a psychologist. She offers some really good advice, too. And one of the things she said in the book that I think is great is that if you have ADD, then it can be, and you want to meditate, maybe start with a guided meditation or something where you're not going to beat yourself up because you're having trouble paying attention and kind of work your way up. Would you agree with that? Or it probably obviously depends on the individual as well.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you know, I've been meditating for many, many years. And even now, occasionally I'll realize that I'm in a space where I could use a more body-centered practice or a more grounded practice, because sometimes meditation could be a 30-minute invitation for my mind to just go bonkers, you know? So absolutely, sometimes it's good to have a guide through it. Sometimes it's good to do. There are various kinds of meditation that can be more, more controlled, than just sitting there and watching your thoughts. Although I have to say one thing, I had a friend who's been starting meditation recently, and I said, how was your meditation today? She'd meditated maybe 20 minutes or 10 minutes. And she said, oh, it was terrible. The whole time I was just, you know, spacing out, thinking about things, and then every now and then I'd remember. And what I said to her was, that's the good news, actually, which is one of the points of meditation, really, is even if it just happened once or twice, at 10 or 20 minutes, if she realized she was spacing out, recognized it, and brought herself back, that's actually part of the training. That's really actually one of the main things we're looking for. And the more times we do that, we build that ability to be present, to be conscious of what we're doing, which in ADD is often the opposite. So we build that awareness, the ability to notice what we're doing this moment and have some choice around it. And that's awesome. That's the training.
Yeah, I think so, too. You know, Brian, I'd love to have you back. I know we don't have much time left, and I'm going to pass over to Andrea. But we didn't talk about anxiety today, folks, but there are some great things that you can do. There's lemon balm, exercise, valerian, chamomile, green tea, L-theanine. So just keep those in mind. And Andrea, definitely we'll talk about anxiety next time, too.
And, you know, I got a chance to see the anthology yesterday for the first time. It looks great.
Oh.
So exciting.
Oh, I'm so glad you're a part of it, Brian. You have no idea. Thank you. Yay!
No, I think it's such an important topic, and it's something that I am very passionate about, too. So, yes, Brian, we'd love to have you back, and I do want to delve into anxiety next. So, unfortunately, we're out of time for today, but if you want to learn more about Brian, you can visit his website at misadventuresofayogi.com. Thank you for being on the show today.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Always fun.
I'm Andrea Donsky along with Lisa Davis. This is Naturally Savvy Radio on Radio MD. Like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Your Radio MD and at Naturally Savvy. Thanks for listening, everyone. And if you want to listen to some of our other shows, you can visit radiomd.com/naturally-savvy. We got lots up there for you to listen to. Stay well and have a beautiful day.